Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said, "An angel has spoken to me." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
We are on the fifth Sunday of Lent. Next Sunday is Passion, Palm Sunday, then the Triduum. We continue our penitential character of this season as the Church asks us to fast from meat on Fridays, to participate in stations of the cross, to attend Lenten missions, confession. But last Sunday, we had Lateri Sunday. And Lateri means rejoice. To rejoice. In the midst of Lent, when we are asked to explore and expand our hearts and our minds to understand better the mystery of the Incarnation, the mystery of suffering in the life of Christ and in our lives, the Church, we had a moment of respite, a moment of rejoicing in great expectation for that great feast of Easter when our redemption is complete in the resurrection of Christ. And isn't that a lot like what life is about? We have moments of somber moments, moments of suffering, moments of that we're not as much perhaps rejoicing. In general, life is kind of cyclical if we're honest with ourselves. St. Leo reminds us the way to rest is through toil, and the way to life is through death. We all know that we all suffer. Some people suffer incredible trials. Everything seems to be going wrong for them, from their health, to their finances, to their families, anxiety, stress, health, loneliness, depression, the death of a loved one, estrangement, aging, arthritis, continuous pain. A son or a daughter that has went away that we never dreamed they would go. It's very important to understand as we experience trials and sufferings and loneliness perhaps in our lives is that our troubles have nothing to do with our will. Have nothing to do with our will. We do not seek our trials. We don't want them. In a word, they form no part of our moral or responsible life. We don't call upon them. We don't
don't, so to speak, own them. They come to us. Now, we can sin, and we can make bad decisions, and we must suffer the consequence of that bad decision or that sin. But God is so merciful that even in that, in His hands, He holds everything and allows and permits even our mistakes to bring us to more and appreciate more His mercy. My brothers and sisters, this is not the way that it was in paradise before the fall. We are made, our souls, our bodies, our minds, our hearts, are made for unity, are made for harmony, a union between what we would like for something to happen, and then it happens. And whatever happens doesn't cause us pain or anxiety or depression or angst that I'm this age and I'm in this situation. I never dreamed I would be here. All that is not the harmonious way that our Father, our parents in paradise. But as it would be, the fall exists. And at the vigil in 2 weeks, at the beginning, we will say, the priest will pray, "Oh, blessed fault of Adam, oh, necessary sin that procure for us a Redeemer so great as Jesus Christ." A great mystery. I cannot explain it. A theologian will not be able to explain it much further, because God's ways are not our ways. God in His past, a second document states that Christians believe that all human activity is in daily jeopardy through pride and inordinate self-love, and it finds its purification and its perfection in the cross and resurrection of Christ. And St. Paul states it perfectly when he writes to the Romans, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Isn't that our lives? We fall, we pick ourselves up, we confess our sins, we don't like sometimes the way we are with people, the way we react. It's up and down, up and down. It has been going on since the beginning of creation with the fall. So the question comes to us, do we obey ourselves? Today the theme is obedience. And obedience is mentioned in the readings. Christ was obedient. "I came that they obey the will of my Father as I have obeyed obedience." Do we listen and obey our own finite little circle of existence without God? Or do we expand ourselves, our hearts, to engraft ourselves to a God that wants us to be like Him? But that entails necessarily a suffering and sometimes an anxiety of not knowing. Or to engraft ourselves and obey a God that is infinite and that His will is for our own good. Obedience is not a very popular word in our culture, perhaps throughout the world, because obedience perhaps insinuates weakness, submission. We can't obey nowadays. We have to challenge everything, the government, everything, our parents, the church. We can't obey because it's original sin. "I know better." Satan says, well, doesn't want you to know there is so much more. Original sin. Obedience is a learned virtue, and we must learn it. And we must approach the sacraments to be obedient sons and daughters, that we may understand the will that God has for us. In the second reading, son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. When he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Christ was perfect, but he was made perfect. So I thought he was perfect. Well, he learned he had to go and be obedient to God, his Father's. And in that, Christ suffered. And suffering made his mission perfect to teach it to us. And finally, the gospel. "I am troubled now. Yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. but it was not for this purpose that I came to this hour. He comes to obey the Father. Most of you know my daughter, Cecilia, that is in the novitiate out in California. And this is an obedience to a different level. About 2 weeks ago, my wife and I flew out to California, and my parents and one of my daughters, Teresa. You have to understand that we can see her once a year, we can speak to her once a month. When we're there, we have a 2-hour visit, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, to see her. Now, by God's great generosity, we were able to see her much more because we worked with the sisters, we helped in the kitchen, they run retreats. We can write to her, she can't write to us back. She can only come home for 10 days every 3 years. When my father found out that Cecilia wanted to become, she's a nurse, and they run hospitals. So she chose this Carmelite order, very strict order. When my father found out that she wanted to be a Carmelite, my father, a practicing Catholic since he was a baby, taught us the faith, had some choice words for me about her decision. And I can't say them here. He didn't understand the obedience that was required of such an order. I remember saying, well, there are sisters here that they come, I see them here in the air. That's not the one she chose, Father. We went there, we stayed in some cottages, 6 acres at the foothills of the San Gabriel Mountains. When you're walking, you can see the snow-capped mountains. We worked in the kitchen. My mother snuck into her luggage 4 bags of black beans, and being a good Cuban mother, made Cuban beans for about 40 nuns, and they loved it. They were delicious. No wonder we got to see Cecilia more. Maybe we thought we were bribing. That's not why. My brothers and sisters, when my father was asking Cecilia all these questions, my dad's an engineer, and he's like, he needles you. He's needled me growing up. Thank God he did that. All these questions, what do you do? Blah, 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 blah. And Cecilia, so for example, one of the times, I have a video that I want to show you of your cousin, my granddaughter, that she's in a video in this ballet. And my daughter pulls out a little notebook and she writes down and goes, what are you writing? He goes, well, I have to ask the mistresses of novice if I can watch that video. And everything was a sublime obedience. And you see the rhythm of their lives, but you also see the bliss of obedience, the joy of obedience, and the peace of obedience. The last night we were there, we were there 4 days, the sisters, three sisters, and then the novices came into a room, and it was basically called a fun night. And we had to go around the table and say a fun fact about ourselves. And when my father came to him, it was very beautiful. He said, he was very honest. He goes, I didn't understand the sacrifice that Cecilia was asking of us and asking of my son and my family in coming here. And I see the joy, the peace, the happiness, the rhythm of what goes on here. And he was a different person from hence on. My brothers and sisters, obedience gives us many, many blessings. Obedience will give us God's face, as is asked today. I want to see the face of Jesus. Obedience will give us now that. Let us start now on earth and say with St. Peter, as he was obedient, and yet Peter failed. He denied Christ, was forgiven, and obeyed him then, being crucified upside down. With Peter, let's say, I have tasted the sweetness of the Lord. I can tell you those sisters have a quiet freedom. They seem to float because of the bliss of obedience. Let us be obedience to God. Let us be obedience to Holy Mother Catholic Church and embrace her, love her, follow her ways, and we too may be with God someday.